The Healing Word with Bill and Sandy Griffin, bringing hope and healing to our generation. Welcome to The Healing Word. Your hosts, Bill and Sandy Griffin of the Christian Counseling Center in Pickerington, Ohio. We have an exciting program for you today. We're going to be talking to Dr. Richard Booker, who's written the book Celebrating Jesus in the Biblical Feasts, published by Destiny Image. It's going to be a very exciting program, and for Christians, we need to know where we see Jesus throughout the Old Testament, and the feasts of the Lord are so important, so we're going to be finding out about those. The Lord gave us a scripture today, and the scripture comes from Isaiah 53, coming from The Message by Eugene Peterson. He was beaten, he was tortured, but he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered, like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. Justice miscarried, and he was led off. And did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten bloody for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked, threw him in a grave with a rich man, even though he'd never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true. Still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he give himself as an offering for sin, so that he'd see life come from it. Life, life, and more life, and God's plan will deeply prosper through him. Out of that terrible travail of soul, he'll see that it's worth it and glad he did it. Through what he experienced, my righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous ones. As he himself carries the burden of their sins, therefore I'll reward him extravagantly, the best of everything, the highest honors, because he looked death in the face and didn't flinch, because he embraced the company of the lowest. He took on his own shoulders the sin of many. He took up the cause of all the black sheep. Sandy, would you open us in prayer?
God, we're so moved. So moved by your love. So moved by your eternal plan. Lord, open the eyes of our understanding. Help us to understand how sin separated us and how you made a way through your own body to bring us back to yourself eternally. Holy Spirit, come, illumine your word, open our eyes, and Lord, we give you our hearts, our lives, our forever. Lord, come by your Holy Spirit now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The book Celebrating Jesus in the Biblical Feasts by Dr. Richard Booker, really it shares about the feast of the Lord and how powerful and prophetic they are in significance to God's people. Both Jew and Gentile, each feast is a picture of Jesus the Messiah and represents one of seven phases of spiritual development in our own lives. For decades, Dr. Richard Booker and his lovely wife Peggy have dedicated their lives to teaching radical Christian discipleship. Dr. Booker is a well-respected scholar and has written over 30 books and numerous articles on the Bible from a Judeo-Christian perspective. So we're so excited to bring to you, our listening audience, our dear friend, Dr. Richard Booker.
Well, thank you, Bill, and Sandy, thank you for that beautiful prayer you prayed earlier. It really touched my heart.
We're going to talk today, since we've just come through the season of Easter and then Passover, the question of why Jesus died. And again, there's nobody on this planet that that could answer this question better than our beloved Dr. Richard Booker.
Well, I guess, Sandy, thank you, because I'm a big sinner. That's why I appreciate why Jesus died. God loves us unconditionally.
Yes.
But the problem is he's way up there in heaven and we're down here. And so he can't really help us with our sin problem way up there.
Yeah.
So God, in his infinite wisdom and mercy, before he ever even created anything, he's outside of time and space, so he had within his heart that in his own appointed season in time, he would come into the earth to be one of us, what the Bible calls our near kinsman, our next of kin. He would be a human being like us, but born without sin, and he would live a perfect life and be the perfect person that we need, who could actually the Bible says, cut a covenant by the shedding of his own blood with his Father in heaven and do for us what we could not do for ourselves. So God is perfect. We're not. He doesn't grade on the curve. So, you know, we can't make 99 and get there. We have to make 100, but none of us can make 100. Yeah. Using school terms here, Jesus lived his perfect life, Yeshua, some prefer, made 100, we might say. So his sacrifice on our behalf is acceptable to his Father in heaven. Through him, we can have a right relationship with God.
Dr. Booker, as I was reading the resurrection account this morning, the scripture says in John 20, Yeshua said to Miriam, "Stop clinging to me." This is after he appears to her at the resurrection.
Right.
"For I've not yet gone up to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Could you comment on what was going on, the fact that he stopped on his way to the Father to comfort Miriam?
Well, I'm just getting Holy Spirit goosebumps just hearing you read that and talk about it. Well, Jesus, it says he came to fulfill all righteousness.
Yes.
And he is a prophet greater than Moses. He's a priest greater than Aaron. He's a king greater than David.
Yes.
And so he's using priestly talk here, because back in Leviticus, which every Christian should study real closely, in Leviticus, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest, nobody could bother him or talk to him or touch him until he finished his assignment there on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, Leviticus chapter 16. People can read about it.
Yes.
And so this was the most sacred day on the biblical calendar, when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and make atonement for the sins of the people. And then he would come out, and then he would finish up what he was doing, and then everybody could celebrate. So Jesus is fulfilling all righteousness by acting this out, but perfectly in mm-hmm. himself. So he's saying, I got to go to the Father first and present to him my finished sacrifice on your behalf before we can, you know, engage one another.
And that finished sacrifice was his blood, his body?
Well, absolutely. And people, I often ask, well, why would God require his son to die for our sins? What, it seems like a cruel, angry God or something. But God doesn't require this. Sin requires it. That's the difference, Bill and Sandy.
Yes.
The judgment for sin is death, which means separation from God. God is life. So anything apart from him is called death in mm-hmm. the Bible. Separation yeah. from the one who in himself is life. Since God is holy and perfect in that way, and we're not, our sin separates us from him. And so any good, normal parent understands the pain. When I was growing up, many of us, we got spankings. And my father would always say, "This is going to hurt me more than it does you." I never understood that as a kid. You
wow.
know? But of course, now I do. But,
the analogy there of the father
yeah, right.
sacrificing his son.
So, I mean, this was the greatest sacrifice that the creator of the universe could make, was to offer his only son in love as a perfect substitute for us.
Yes.
The deal is this, Bill and Sandy. Everyone has to pay the judgment for sin.
Yes.
That's not the question. The question is, who's going to pay it?
Mm.
Are you going to pay it for yourself, or will you accept the substitutionary sacrifice of Yeshua Jesus
wow.
on your behalf? And mm-hmm. that's the love message that God has for us.
Wow, so great a love.
And that's what it really means to come into the kingdom, is to accept that he did it for you. He exchanged his life for your life. When you realize that, wow, you're in.
Having a real, true internal revelation of that
yeah.
is the motivation for wanting to live a life that pleases God.
Yes.
Knowing what Jesus did for us. He did that for me. So the least I can do, that's what the Apostle Paul, the least that you can do is to live a holy life that pleases God. Now, we can't do that on our own, of course.
Really?
That's why we need the Spirit of God to come into us.
Yeah, we can aspire.
And we yield our souls and our bodies to the Spirit of God in us and allow Him to impart the life of Jesus to us and through us and out of us, and we can be salt and light in a desperate world that needs the revelation of God.
Richard, I'm going to ask you a question that I know it's the basis of a lot of anti-Semitism, a lot of misinformation in the church, a lot of division between people and religious groups. The question of who actually killed Jesus.
This has been a source of tragedy for the Jewish people for centuries. Because if you read the Bible just on the surface,
yeah,
it seems to say certain things. But this is why it's so important, Bill and Sandy, that every Christian have a teacher.
Yes.
And God bless the pastors, but every Christian needs a teacher, somebody that's a teacher, researcher of the Bible to help explain it back in its historical context. So when it says the Jews did this and the Jews did that, if you have to know the context of it, technically it means the Judeans is the idea, which was the establishment running things in Jerusalem, particularly at the temple. Jesus was a threat to the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've got this big long teaching, but I try to really boil it down to two words: who killed Jesus? The establishment.
Yes.
Now, if you think about it, if your listeners think about it, the establishment always hates prophets and revolutionaries, whether good ones or bad ones,
mm-hmm.
because they threaten the status quo. They threaten the power, you know, of the establishment. And so if the prophet or revolutionary gets too big of a following, they become a threat to the establishment, and the establishment tries to kill the person. Sometimes
really?
They can, sometimes they can't.
Yeah.
So God really provided for this to make atonement for our sins, but he used human people.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened to be the Roman establishment in the form of Pilate, who actually did the literal deed of crucifying Jesus.
He represented the government of Rome, so that was the establishment.
The Jewish establishment, which was basically a small, tiny little group of people called Sadducees that were the priestly group that ran the Temple Mount.
Yes.
And all of their power, all of their profit, all of their status was invested in that temple. So Jesus is threatening that, so they find a way to put him to death. So if you there was probably maybe, you know, when Pilate's got Jesus there, and who do you want, Jesus or who do you want, Barabbas? There was only a small handful, maybe 50 people or something, a rent-a-crowd mob,
yeah,
that Caiaphas paid, that they owed their living to him, to say at the right time, cry out, give us Barabbas. So the Jewish people in that time, it was Passover, as we know, they were all sleeping in their, you know, when they took Jesus at night. You remember it says they wouldn't try to get him in the daytime.
Right.
That's right, yeah.
So popular. So at nighttime, they had kind of a kangaroo court. They wouldn't grab him when everybody's sleeping. And that next morning, the Jewish people in Jerusalem are preparing for their Passover. They have no idea what's going on, and Jesus is already crucified by the establishment.
Mm. Wow, yeah. So there's really three people that were involved: the Jewish establishment, the Roman establishment, and humanity, ourselves.
Humanity.
Us.
You know, you read that beautiful Isaiah, yeah, scripture, all we like sheep have gone astray,
yeah,
which turned each and every one to his own way.
Yes.
And God laid, it means heavily leaned on him, on
the
Jesus,
iniquity of us all.
The iniquity of us all.
Yes.
So God's love provided a way for humanity to be reconciled to him. But he could have used the Chinese, you know, or the Americans, or Greece, you know, or the Europeans, you know, France, anybody. But in his time, the groups that were there were the Jewish establishment and the Roman establishment. Yeah. So obviously we can't blame the Jews as a collective for killing Jesus, because most Jews in the first century lived out in the world of Alexandria, the diaspora, in the Greek world. They'd never even heard of him. So how could they have been guilty of killing Jesus? So just the other day, there was a basketball game in the Boston area between a Catholic school and a high school that was primarily Jewish. And as high school kids will often taunt the other side, you know, the Catholic kids in the stands, some of them started hollering out to the Jews, "You killed Jesus! You killed Jesus!" Mm. I mean, this was just the other day, Bill and Sandy.
My goodness.
So it's not something that's been done away with, his mindset. And
really?
It was taken by Constantine in the 4th century as part of his turning Christianity into a Greco-Roman religion.
State religion, yeah.
And he made it anti-Semitic and accused the Jews of killing Christ. It stuck throughout the centuries.
Really?
And it worked.
Yeah,
and
really.
It created tremendous division.
Yeah, and I'm so sorry. You know, in the Middle Ages, most people, they couldn't read, you know. They were illiterate. Plus, they didn't have a Bible. So think about it, Bill and Sandy. In European Christendom, in times past, the European people had no idea that Jesus was a Jew.
That's
no
true.
Idea.
That's right.
All they saw or had was the sermons from the priests and the picture windows of glass-stained picture windows in the church building, which all portrayed Jesus as a European.
Yeah.
So they had no idea really who Jesus was. They couldn't read. They didn't have a Bible. And they only knew what the priest told them. And every year at Passover, the priest would come up and say the Jews killed Christ. And the people would go out in a mob rage and kill the local Jewish people in their neighborhood. It's a terrible. Blood is on our hands.
My goodness.
Yeah, and Jesus was a Jew who died as the Lamb of God.
Wow.
The Passover Lamb.
You know, Jesus was a Jewish man in his humanity. He is a Jewish man in glorified humanity.
Yeah.
And he's returning as the Lion from
there
the tribe of Judah, the root and offspring of David, as a glorified
Amen.
Jewish man to be not only King of Israel, but King of Kings and Lord
Hallelujah.
Of Lords. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen and amen.
Richard, describe how Passover fulfilled in Jesus, how it affects our position before God of being not guilty and justified.
We need a Savior. We need a Redeemer. We can't save ourselves. Even the best person, you know, makes so many mistakes. And it's not just what we do, but what we want to do. God is interested in our hearts. And if we look at around and be honest, who can save us? You know, science can't save us. The government can't save us. It makes things worse. Education can't save us. You know, good works can't save us, because how many do you have to do? You never know. And so God is the only one who can save us, but he had to become one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus on the cross, when he said, "It is finished."
Hallelujah.
He was saying that all of these sacrifices that the Hebrew people did were pictures pointing to him, and now he's the once and for all sacrifice.
Yes.
And in making a covenant with the Father on our behalf, he took our sins into his spirit, our sorrows into his soul, and our sicknesses into his flesh.
Yes.
All of our human liabilities, he bore that for us. And
that's
then
Jesus.
He imparted in a covenant exchange the asset of his life. And his life coming into us not only brings forgiveness of sin, but also brings with him in us the ability to overcome sin. So Peggy and I like to say it this way: Jesus not only gave his life for us, He also gave his life to us.
To us, praise God.
And it's no longer we who live,
but Christ who lives within us.
It's not trying to be a good Christian. It's not trying to be a good person. It's a divine exchange of our weaknesses for his perfections. And when we just receive Jesus into our life as our Lord and Savior, the Passover Lamb who died for our sins, and ask him to put his life into us, don't have to have big theological knowledge, just simple faith, the Spirit of God will come into us and wash us clean of our sins. And as we learn to live with him, the Spirit of God in us will change us and give us a new life. An overcoming life, a victorious life, a life with purpose,
abundant
and praise, and help us to pull out of the old habits and attitudes, become a new creation, and have purpose and meaning and life and joy and peace in this
addiction.
World, and he throws heaven in on top of all of that.
Amen.
Wow, what a deal.
My goodness.
I'm getting excited.
And the scripture says that we are the righteousness of God.
Well, amen, and that's what people need to grasp, righteousness. We cannot do anything to earn this favor of God.
Yes.
Jesus has the favor of God. And if we identify with him and accept his death and resurrection for us, it's in his righteousness and his merit that we have favor with God, not anything that we can do.
Right. God sees Jesus in us.
Well, amen. And that's the way it is. Love is blind. Hallelujah.
Glory. There are people who are hearing these words, and they just want a handle. They want to know, how can I come into that relationship with Jesus? And would you help them to ask the Lord into their hearts?
Well, absolutely. And those of you who are listening, God bless you today.
Thank you, Lord.
I can tell you with all authority that no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you've been or good you think you've been, that we all fall short, but God loves you. He's not up there with a big club. He gave his son to die for our sins. And if you can get that revelation and see that and embrace that, you just say this prayer with me. Father in heaven, I acknowledge that I've sinned and fallen short of who you are and what you want for me. And I receive Jesus' death on my behalf. And I thank you for taking that off of me, forgiving my sins, and I ask you, Spirit of God, to come into me and make Jesus Lord of my life and help me to overcome the old and walk in newness of life. In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Powerful.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. You know, listeners, this is one piece of a few pages in Richard's book, Celebrating Jesus in the Biblical Feast. We really encourage you to get a hold of the book. The Bible would become so alive to you as Richard, a true teacher of God, just explains what he's researched and also what God's revealed to him. Richard, what's a really good website so that our listeners could contact your information, but also maybe God's putting it in their hearts to invite you to their congregation to do like an extended weekend of teaching.
Mm. Well, that would be awesome, Sandy. Thank you. It's www.rbooker.com. R. Booker, like for Richard Booker.
Okay.
There's so much on there that there's enough for somebody to study the rest of their life. It really is 41 years of teaching and writing and traveling all over the world. And, you know, like I appreciate that. If somebody's heart is touched and wants to invite us to their area, they can contact us through that website and order the books. And we have whole courses and diplomas, anything we can do to help.
Listeners, I was sharing with Dr. Booker before that we were at a service yesterday, and there was a rabbi from Israel, and he was originally from Houston, and I asked him if he knew Richard Booker, and he said he knew his work, the way he taught about the Jewish roots of the faith. And he was, I mean, there he is in Israel, just an established name. And he has been such a such wisdom to several generations already.
Oh, my goodness.
Richard,
yes.
You have been such a blessing. And we just look forward to so many more programs with you. And I know you're going to be reissuing very shortly your first really major book, The Miracle of the Scarlet Thread.
Soon, in God's time.
How true.
But I can't wait to that. And yeah. Maybe we can revisit some programs when that comes out.
How true.
That is a date.
Yes,
that'd be awesome.
So once again, we've been talking to Dr. Richard Booker, who's written the book Celebrating Jesus in the Biblical Feasts, published by Destiny Image. We thank you for listening, and know that God loves you so very much, and Bill and Sandy do too. Tune in next time.
You've been listening to The Healing Word, a radio outreach of the Christian Counseling Center in Pickerington, Ohio. The Healing Word is sponsored by the Christian Counseling Center and generous gifts of ministry friends. Visit us at griffincouncil.com. That's GRIFFINCOUNSEL.com. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast or any past broadcast, please go to healingwordradio.com. And thank you for listening.
Hi, this is Josh, the producer of the Healing Word Radio Show. Usually, I'm behind the scenes, talking to a guest, setting levels, or working on the next incredible episode. But today, I'm here to tell you that we at the Healing Word would love to hear from you. If God has used this show to bless you in any way, please let us know. Send us an email at healingwordradio@gmail.com. Once again, that's healingwordradio@gmail.com. You can share your story, tell us who you would like to hear on the show, or let us know if you would like any more information about counseling services with Bill and Sandy. Oh, and while I'm here, did you know that you can get all the current episodes of The Healing Word on your smartphone or laptop? Simply open iTunes, click Podcasts, search The Healing Word, and hit subscribe to receive automatic updates of all new episodes and other special content. Thank you for listening, and on behalf of Bill and Sandy, may God continue to bless you and your family.